This is the point where we start to realize that we're not getting any younger.
In fact,
yo, and we decided, well, because of conflicting work schedules, and somebody had to be an MC for a work function. I don't know.
Holla at your boy.
Hollywood Bets, can we discuss something here?
It was a karaoke evening, man. And I actually was planning to sing. And then I get told 45 minutes before the event starts that, hey, manna, the MC has got this, that, and the other. He's sick. Can you please step in?
He was now, sick. They let you down. He let you down.
And, you know, I love the sound of my own voice, as you guys have learned on these podcasts with the venerable Will Iso McHater over here. And
Welcome back to Sports Around, where I've already been bashed on in the first minute and a half. I am yours truly, Will Iso. On the other side is Keba Motoahai.
Amanda.
Apparently you're voting ANC again.
When did I say that?
I have the voice note.
Shit! I hate evidence.
I have the voice note because there's no load shedding. It's because there's no load shedding.
Yeah, let's vote. Oh my god, the ANC hasn't load shed us. They deserve our vote. you know, South African voters are dishonest SOBs, man.
Because I'm not home, so I don't know. I don't know the demographic. And to be brutally honest with you, I know this is not really. I mean, we talk everything on this pod, so deal with it. What is the mood like? Because I mean, it is now essentially it's March.
Yeah.
Okay. What is the mood like going into this election? You're at home because obviously I just get the dribble from online pages and the complete negativity. But what is the mood like going into this election, actually?
I'm sure you've heard of the term battleground states, a battleground state in a U.S. election, right? Like,
yeah,
as in
normally like Florida.
Yes. It turns out I am in the battleground state or battleground province. The EFF had its manifesto launch at Moses Mabhida Stadium around the corner here in Durban.
What?
2 weeks later, on last Saturday, the ANC had its manifesto launch here, and the IFP is having its manifesto launch at the same venue a week from now. So what that means...
Parties pack out the place, is the question.
Okay, the EFF to a certain extent, like, yeah, packed out in EFF numbers. The ANC, naturally, because they've got more voters historically, and they've got...
You know what they did? They slaughtered some cows before.
People... No. What I said is that people got free transport to the beach, because the beach is just across the road. Guys, you knew. That's how they operate. Free shit.
White people are probably like, no.
Oh my God. But remember, they're up the coast in Mshlanga and Blito and Sheffield Beach. So this is a battleground state. This is where the EFF will look for growth. That cat is like, you're talking cack. The EFF needs to grow, and they've seen an opportunity in KwaZulu-Natal. The IFP has resurged, because the party of corruption, ANC, has ruined the great work that they started in the 90s. People will be shocked that there was a time when the IFP ran KwaZulu-Natal and this province was more than functional. So this is the battleground state, yeah.
But I feel it, but I think it's always been a battleground state because there are Zulu people.
Yes.
I know there are Zulu people who are very much pro-ANC.
Yeah.
I know there's some personal experience. And I know the Zulu people who are pro-Inkatha because...
Yeah.
Right?
And then there's that history, that political violence history.
And if you see the video of me, it's literally not a sex toy. It's actually a live being. It's the cat. And I feel like The EFF is going to grow mostly through propaganda.
If they grow, because this is the make or break. If the EFF either maintains that percentage or goes down, it's over. They've been forced to propagandize everything because they are desperate for that extra vote. Because now it's a free-for-all. With the ANC having lost its luster, having lost its power, every single party, every single is scrambling for the crumbs.
The ANC like they're just not sexy anymore, are they?
Yes. Like who the AFF?
That you see. No, the
ANC. Oh, ANC. Like that X. That X just look at you like, you know, when you just want to cuss.
But you still go there. And you know it shouldn't have.
And it's like in the next morning, it's like, God damn, what the hell was I thinking? One of those.
So KZN is quite tight. What is okay? The Western Cape has always kind of been a DA.
Gone, it's gone. So every single metropolitan area or urban area, the ANC is going to lose comfortably.
Really?
Oh no! The urban areas, the ANC started losing from 2016 onwards. Literally, the ANC has been getting back power through the EFF whoring themselves to the ANC. Garfield is like, I'm tired of this political talk.
He just wants attention. He's just
yeah. That's how it works. So the ANC has been getting voted out of urban areas, and then there's that unholy alliance between them and the EFF because both of them are two sides of the same coin. They are one and the same thing. Julius Malema and the Youth League left because they sulked because of whatever all those years ago. But they unite on common causes, usually corruption and how to take over a municipality so that they can steal. That's how much I disregard the ANC and the EFF.
Okay. Northwest. Northern Cape.
Northwest, Northern Cape. Unfortunately, the other smaller parties are making it. So people are not voting.
Those are still...
it's going to fall into the ANC green, by default.
Green, black, and yellow.
But barely. Barely, though.
Barely.
The damage is because people don't vote anymore. You'll be shocked. People don't vote. Freestat, we just don't know what the DA is going to do, as well as your Free Hate Front, the Freedom Front. I don't know what they're going to.
Zambi, my boys.
Because I know a lot of these minority ethno groups might research. Because the thing is, people are tired of corruption. Yes.
People don't vote, and then people, you know, people don't. You'll be. I'm so upset. I missed the deadline because I was screwing around with the online voting, and I'm really pissed off about it because I can't vote here where I live.
Yeah,
because I'm not a citizen yet, and I just think like it's such an important democratic right to have, and to not cast your vote, regardless of whether you support somebody that you think is going to win or lose, or if you're backing the losing horse for now, that horse might win.
You are giving it power. It's frustration. The thing is, it's not even laziness. It's that lack of wanting to take responsibility because of whatever. People know. They're just content. It's like, whatever. Why must I vote? That dismissive attitude, yeah.
I'm going to say something a little controversial.
Fire
this
away.
Is Julius' last opportunity as president of the EFF.
Yes. Yeah. Because it's a dictatorship.
Floyd is not going to chill out for too long.
It's a dictatorship. We all know that it's a cult. It's a dictatorship. And Mutama, the proper left wing, he broke away from the EFF a few years ago because there have been dissenters, and the dissenters get expelled from the EFF. But now the EFF has got to show growth. They are the biggest loser or winner here. If they grow, it means that their mandate is felt by the people. The people hear their story. because their message has just been based on reactionary propaganda. Before, 10 years ago, they offered a lively alternative to the DA and the other parties that were in parliament who never kept the ANC in check. So, like, we needed a black radical group to tell the ANC, Fusek, and hence why we voted EFF. I didn't believe in their message. I just wanted them to energize the younger vote, the younger black vote. That, guys, there are people who can speak your language, even if they talk cack a lot of the times. As long as somebody can tell ANC hashtag Fusek, which is what we wanted.
I think you hit the nail on the head. I think a lot of people just don't vote, especially being home. And I think that's really important.
Yeah.
I mean, regardless of your background, I'm not going to go into all of the the nitty gritties of it.
Yes.
In my lifetime, I've only voted once.
Yeah.
And that was in the 08 election.
Yes.
Because I was still studying, you know, I was still home, and then I haven't voted since because I've, you know,
not been able to.
Not been, well, I mean, I was able. And you're always able.
Yeah.
But it's work. And I think it's just something that is so important, regardless of who you support or what you support or what you believe in. I think it's a massive, massive thing to do, and I think it's an important thing to do. But
so a lot was given up for that vote, man.
God,
a lot.
I mean, we could go into it, and for everyone to have equal opportunity, and this is part of equal opportunity.
Yeah.
So people, you know what?
Please register, vote, and fit. Even if it means 100% of the people vote for the party of corruption, the ANC. 100% of the people voted. That's great.
You need to be careful now because you have stock in your stable there, boo. You need to be careful.
The ANC is the party of corruption.
Anyway. I feel like, you know what, I actually was like, maybe Julius is basically Donald Trump, just in South Africa.
Yes.
You see
the point sometimes. Sometimes, like, for instance, okay, I know I don't want to go down this rabbit hole, but sometimes you appreciate Donald Trump rattling both sides. You want him rattling the ANC, and then you want him rattling the DA.
He's like a machine gun that has no aim.
He
can take everybody out. He can take his own people out. He can take your friend out. He can take his friend out, as long as he looks good.
Yeah.
And he says it.
That comrade. Yeah, I know.
So, as I was sharing with you yesterday on our WhatsApp chat, Christian Horner's situation has been dropped, right? And the case will not be going further. But there's still a few issues at Formula at Red Bull. Max Verstappen, I watched a video today. Max Verstappen was complaining about the car. It's jumpy. It's understeer, oversteer. It's doing everything it's not supposed to do, which has not obviously been the last 4 years. You know, the last 4 years they've been
kicking ass.
You know, the standard. You know, and maybe there's been, maybe this little situation has unsettled a few things. It's going to affect the car in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah,
and those driving it. But I'm really looking forward to actually checking this weekend out. Like,
is that not just a way of trying to force him out? Maybe he's run his course and they're just looking for an excuse to force him
out. But isn't there a point? Isn't there a point with every sport? Every long-serving coach is going to get pushed out.
Yes.
Every long-serving GM is going to get pushed out. Every long-serving, and then we need to find all kinds of dirt on them to
Which is not necessary. It's like, literally, just be straightforward. Like, hey, Mr. Horner, I think you've served your purpose. Be a man. Be a man, as Russell Peters said. Let's like say, hey, Chief, thank you for everything. But this is your long goodbye and your long lost word. You don't have to come up. That is so desperate, man. That if it is true that it was a setup, that is so desperate, considering what the man has done.
Shen, look, I mean, I think it's a story for another day.
Mm-hmm.
But as of right now, Max Verstappen is saying he's not too worried about the car, even though free practice one has let the car. You know, they've not been on the pace that they mm-hmm. that they're usually on.
Yeah,
or are used to. They've kind of been behind the eight ball. But that's... you know, with all this technology and these damn cars, and it's just trying to find the right balance. And
exactly, I wish man. Would,
you know, I mean, I drive a Honda Civic here this side.
Mm-hmm.
Come and find the right balance for me, bro. All right? Drop the suspension there. Give me a nice little turb free flow filter injection.
Do you want sound in the back there just so that you can be a Durban OA?
I want the bro. I need that subwoofer. I need it to sound like Galaxy in the back of my car. Okay, I need it to sound like Long Street in the back of my car. And you know, I need shit to happen.
Galaxy,
yes, I did. But I'm mostly looking forward to Garfield. He's clicking the mouse now. I'm mostly kind of intrigued by this weekend, mouse, what it's going to bring it. Mm?
Cat, mouse.
All right. And it's literally an apparatus that's attached to my computer. I'm really intrigued to see how this weekend goes. Obviously, the first race of any, the first game, of a season is always something to look at.
Sets the tone, exactly.
And of course, Red Bull has been the form setter for the last few years.
Yeah.
Can they continue that run? How does Mercedes look? I read earlier also that Lewis Hamilton was even quite surprised by the car. You know, how well it's performing at the moment. But let's see how that...
And is there a shock? Because once in a while, every one of us hopes for a Leicester City. Remember when Leicester won the league? Imagine we get that in Formula One, like Haas or Toro Rosso or Saab or whatever those other... Imagine one of them just like, it's like, we're going to win everything. That will be shocking.
You are a romantic at heart.
Exactly.
But I think your romanticism is going a bit too far.
Yeah. It's unrealistic.
I mean, I think we're always going to watch the big teams. I think we're always going to look at Red Bull Honda. I think we're always going to look at Mercedes and see what they're going to do. You're obviously always going to pay attention to
Ferrari,
Ferrari, because of who they are. Can I just be honest, Hollywood Bets? I'm really grateful for this budding partnership that we have, but I'm a bit disgruntled with you all right now. I want to give the millions and millions of fans some betting odds, but we don't have any. Can we fix that?
Please. Damn! Is that a Hollywood? Oh, sorry.
You're wearing a shirt. Okay, so should we make a prediction? What's your prediction right now?
Prediction is more of the same. More of the same, but...
More of the same. You're saying Verstappen for the win?
Verstappen for the win, but like you mentioned importantly a minute ago, I'm a romantic, and what if we get surprised? Like, somebody shocks us. I believe somebody's going to surprise us on Sunday.
All right, so...
I don't know who the most like, because the odds are not there. Hollywood Bets, man.
I mean, I think if anybody's going to shock us, it's probably going to be
Mercedes.
I don't know, because Mercedes are a front runner, so you're expecting them to do well. Alpine looks all right. Aston Martin? Could they shock us? Fernando Alonso, Lance Stroll, could they shock us? I mean, I'm yeah, it's tough for me to look at Haas or Sauber.
Oh, that is so a Formula
but One. We need to discuss Valtteri Bottas's look right now.
Why?
The man is he's got a mustache that is unreal. And he's growing a little mullet there. He's looking very, very much how we expect him to look.
Arrest that man. Arrest that man and check his basement. And check to make sure that he does not have a white van somewhere. Hey! He looks like a rejected Kiwi rugby player. You know exactly what I'm talking about. This is the look.
This is what happens when we record late at night. We just talk whatever's on our mind. I hope you all enjoy this because this is...
He looks like he's been wanted for shit, man. Keep him away from your children. I'm telling you. What the hell is going on there, man?
I'm checking the cat. I'm to you. Okay, so here's what I'm going with. Oh, man. Mercedes won.
Mm-hmm. All right, that's a shock in its way, but it's not a shock.
In its way, but it's not a shock. I'm probably... I don't know. I haven't heard anything about the Ferraris yet, and it's been very quiet. But I'm seeing a little bit of a Mercedes situation. And I'm going with Fernando Alonso finishing on the podium. So,
way! That's an upset. Now, that is an upset.
I mean, he performed quite well last year. So, you know, let's give the man his flowers. For all 42 years of him.
McLaren. Oh, McLaren still exists. Damn, oh, Daniel.
Yeah, they just have this horrible color. They're orange now. It just makes no sense.
Oh, I Daniel forgot. Ricciardo. Look at that. Daniel Ricciardo, dude.
Zattara Rosso, yeah. Yeah, Zattara Rosso.
If I'm not wrong, there are less teams than there used to be before, right?
Same amount.
Oh,
same
okay.
Amount.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Same amount of teams. I mean, I believe there's
10 teams.
Yeah, there's 10 teams. The same amount. So it's kind of been that.
Oh, okay.
It's very exclusive, as you know. Yeah. So, all right. That was our Formula One news.
Uh-huh.
We're going to shoot right into it. We're not even going to take a break tonight because if we keep rambling on like we're rambling on right now,
Jesus
we may
will
never
come
get to the end of the second coming will happen, and it might be Mandela, not even.
Oh, your comrades are talking nonsense.
By the time we get through this, onze liepling begin mos na more. Can you believe it's March tomorrow? I don't know where the time is flying.
Is this what this getting old thing means? Time just flies.
I don't know why you asking me about getting old. What are you trying to say exactly?
Yay and ek os and ons is.
Yay and ek. Oh, okay. This is yay? Seven Afrikaans here.
Okay. Yay and ek and is no oogate. Ek jammer om te sê.
All I'm saying is black don't crack. I don't know why you would look. The URC is back on. The games that we're going to look at. The games that we're going to look at are
all of them.
Well, we're going to look at all of them.
In terms of odds,
The betting odds are, you know, the first game kicks off tomorrow night. It's Edinburgh versus Ospreys. Ospreys needs something to happen.
They're going to get their ass slapped. I'm sorry. They're
going to
get slapped.
The Ospreys, the draw for the Ospreys, the line for the Ospreys is 3.5. The draw is 22.
Wait.
For Eden.
Three and a half?
Yeah, bro.
Huh, it means that this is almost within the margin of error. The bookies know something here.
Well, the draw is 22 and Edinburgh is at 0.22. So, what do you think they know that we
don't? Interesting. Dude, Ospreys winning that game would be... So, you put in 100 rand, you get 350.
Yes, sir.
Why not? They must know something we don't. They must know something we don't.
And what's really most frustrating is I get no current news.
Ah, that's true.
So there's no news on them. I just you know that which there are any talking points about these two teams.
We just know
that Ospreys have not been having the best of times.
What are the chances that Edinburgh is resting their Scottish players from the Six Nations, and Osprey doesn't have any Welsh players, so thus they've got rhythm to actually cause an upset away from home.
The let's have a look. I could tell you right now that the chances are very high. I do not see for Edinburgh any of the big names that we would know.
Yeah.
That we would be thinking of.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's...
The handicap for Osprey is 10.5. That is quite low.
Is that where you... Where you
I've just opened up everything. So it means that...
You're dramatic.
So the Osprey are more or less 11 points ahead as the game starts, and Edinburgh is expected to cover those 11 points in what will probably be rubbish weather.
Should I have a look at the weather in Edinburgh tomorrow?
I don't know, man, if you want to. Because, I mean, what the hell would you be discussing?
It's 3 degrees. Tomorrow is going to be raining.
Aha! I knew they knew something. So if Osprey...
It's not like that's... It's not like we've found Pandora's box with regards to the fucking weather.
It means that it's going to be a close game then.
Edinburgh, you fucking wank. It's raining all the time.
So that means that the bookies are expecting a proper arm wrestle here.
If you're smart, you put something on Ospreys.
Yes.
But I don't know, and I'm just going to be that guy and be brutally honest. I don't know enough about Ospreys or Edinburgh to...
Yes.
Speak from a position of knowledge.
Yes.
I'm not that guy. So we're going to move on to the next game.
Yeah.
Which is also on Friday night. Munster.
Look at those odds.
V Zebra. The odds are 13 for Zebra. So if you put $100 on them, you get a nice 1-3. Very nice. The odds for Munster is 0.01, so you get nothing out of that. You get less than nothing out of that. The draw is 50.
Yeah.
Now, hey, you know, Zebra might be feeling quite good about themselves.
They had a very good run. But the thing is, how much of the Italian national team are they? Because you'd expect that to be Benetton.
You love doing this. You're like,
guys, I'm invested in Italian rugby. William understands I've got this thing for them. But.
I'm going to look now at the lineup because you need to see the lineup.
Yeah. But the money is in the handicap. Sometimes always look at the handicap because. It says that
it doesn't seem as though any of the Italian internationals that we know that we're thinking of.
So it means that,
and it looks like Ospreys are also playing their bees.
Oh.
That's interesting. Ospreys, what am I talking about?
Zebre.
Munster. Munster.
So the door's going to be open.
People are going to add us. People are going to be like, you guys don't know what you're talking about. Hey, let me just help you out. It's almost 9:30 my time. So, we're rambling on
Yeah.
because we're tired. But exactly. We love content so much that the handicap is 27.5
yeah.
for Zebra, right?
So, yeah. They meet.
So there's nothing to even report on that shit because Munster is going to beat the shit out of Zebra.
God damn.
I went there, and if you put money on Zebra to win and you come and find me, I'm going to slap the taste out of your mouth because it's not a very smart bet. Now, Saturday, 3:00.
Ooh.
This is going to be
a good game.
Mostly because the Lions have been a team trending in the right direction.
Yes.
And the Sharks have been a team trending in the wrong direction. They're sort of trending with the Titanic right now.
And they're at the foot of the table, right? God damn.
I have issues with this because, you know, there was all this talk that when Jay-Z's company, the lineups, and we don't even have lineups for them because they'll be announced 24 hours before kickoff. Thanks very much. But the Sharks have kind of been really off the boil for what their budget reflects. And they shouldn't be in the situation that they're in. You're hearing some stuff because you're in Durban at the moment. You're hearing some shuffling stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like what's actually, you've got your finger on the pulse, I hope.
As opposed to finger in the pulse. Sorry, what happened?
What have you been hearing that's
you missed the innuendo there. Thank you very much.
Well, no, I got it. I just didn't want to pay attention to it.
So the rumors is that we're now with Jaden Hendrickson coming down to Durban, it's been confirmed. One of Buta Chamberlain and
Buta Dipana nochal.
Sorry, Buta Dipana. One of Buta Chamberlain or Kerwin Bosch is on the way out, and there are strong rumors that now Buta Chamberlain really is going to the Bulls, and that Kerwin Bosch is looking to revive his career abroad. Because now you've got Siyama Suku. Siyama Suku came in and changed the game against the Stormers a couple of weeks ago. Siyama Suku has not been given a run, but Buta and Kerwin have not quite delivered. Have not delivered, and John Plumtree is like Futsak. 8 Metiela. So that is the rumor that they've been told. Guys, pack your bags.
Is John Plumtree the right coach for?
I don't know, because he just took over, and he took over in a team that has been all over the place, that has never been allowed to settle, simply because with the rest protocols that the Springboks are subjected to, it has disrupted their rhythm. That we all know. That's a problem with signing Springboks in modern. In the days of Super Rugby, particularly Super 14 and Super 12, you could have all those Springboks and kick ass, except for the Stormers under Alan Solomons and Gerrit Small, but that's a story for another day. Now, I went there. Now, you've got the likes of Evan Etzebeth, who is likely to become the most capped rugby player of all time if his injury record remains intact. But now, if
it's not the injuries that are really the issue, though.
Yeah,
it's the concussions.
Yeah, exactly. And now you're trying to.
Okay, yeah, those are injuries. Now people are going to be like, "Yeah, injury." Yeah, I get that.
So now, Rassie, we all know is going for the three-peat in 2027, and that's going to be if he's going to keep a lot of these players, including the likes of Eben. That's if Eben is going to make it there, and that would make him 34, 35 in Australia. He has to be rested as much as possible. See,
same age as you right now.
I'm 36 this year. I think he's 2 years younger than me.
He's 2 years younger than you?
I think he's 2 years. Wait, how old is he, Evan Etzebeth? 32, 30. Anyway, okay. What I'm trying to say is, because I'm rambling, is that the Sharks.
Now.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So, yeah, 35. Hey, man. guys have been older and they've played. So the issue is now, these guys have been given rest protocols. So now it has not allowed the Sharks to have that core of Springboks fire since they started the Galacticos era in 2000 with Mbonambi and Etzebeth or Elizabethi and Kolisi and. So they have to...
Sorry, continue.
They have to now look to actually create their own Springboks. As in, players inside the system who are not part of the international scene have to start delivering. Because the Springboks are there, they are preserving themselves. They are paid. They've only got hunger for Test rugby now. If I've won two Rugby World Cups, why should I be lifting myself for the URC and Currie Cup and European Cup? And perhaps maybe the European Cup. Maybe the European Cup is the one that could keep them motivated. But, you know, it's Plumtree has to start moving deck chairs around on the Titanic, as you call it.
So something I always say that is really important in rugby is you cannot buy culture.
Yes, yes.
You can buy... So Toulon did that. Wilkinson, Habana.
And it worked for Trevor a bit.
Niekirk. It worked because the guys... that when they all went there, were at a stage in their career where they were willing to sacrifice for the greater good.
Thank you.
It's hard to win the top 14. It's hard to win the Champions Cup.
And they did both.
And they did both.
Right? And it's they hard. Were accomplished. They were, at that point, they were legends.
I mean, they had Buckies as well, right?
Buckies, Juan Smith, Jofa Nikia.
Who's Juan?
Juan Smith, dude, they had the best players in the world. They were a World 15, and yet, even at the end of their careers, these guys were delivering, which says a lot. That says a lot about the culture. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
I just think it's tough to buy culture. I think you can have as much money as any team out there,
yeah,
or any franchise out there. But money is not everything.
Yeah.
And it's about how you build in the collective. And that was something where I would look at one of my mentors and say, you know what, there's something Jake did very well in the early days of the Bulls, when he joined the Bulls. They signed a lot of players, big-name players, and they managed to mold that.
Mold them into something, yeah.
And they won a lot of cups.
And then those players moved on.
Right, because they got older and they got better offers.
Did you notice how the Bulls started looking a bit vulnerable when Dwayne Vermeulen left? Mm-hmm. At his age, by the way. That is a man who was in his mid-30s. He left the Bulls and suddenly the Bulls looked beatable.
I think we forget, because it was again this thing. I mean, I was listening to Behind the Ruck from a couple of weeks ago. I told you to watch it or listen to it. And Siyo Kolisi talks about his first game as captain. They're down 21 points. And he didn't know what to say. He's never been in the position as a captain. And he said, oh, he just tapped away in for a minute and said, say something. We forget the importance of certain leadership styles.
Yeah.
And, you know, but... also, them as a group, they have the quality, they have the player base, they have, you know. But this is the game that the Sharks need
to win. To turn it around. They need to win, bro.
They need to win. Their draw is their line is 142.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you must put $100 for me on the Sharks there, bro.
They get what, 140 rands, huh?
1.42. Oh, sorry, put 1,000 there. Hollywood Bets is paying. you know, I'm guessing the lines every freaking week. So anyway, watch me call out potential partner here. The draw is 21.
There won't be a draw in this game, yeah.
There won't be a draw. And the Lions, 0.61.
Yeah, so you're not going to win much.
I'm gonna do the worst thing, hey.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to pick the Sharks to go to Johannesburg and make the pots.
And make the pots happen with the things in the place, ne?
Yes.
Which will be...
I'm going to pick the Sharks. I'm going to pick the Sharks purely because I feel like this is the game that they need to win, that they know they have to win. I feel like with the quality in the group, it's something that'll come together.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying the Sharks are not, the Lions are not capable of winning, of doing their job. I just think this is the game the Sharks need.
Yeah.
And the Lions just happen to be that team in the way.
Yeah. And we tend to forget that the Sharks are very much alive and the dark horses in the Champions Challenge or the Challenge Cup. When I look at the opponents that await them, they don't have to beat really good teams there. So they might have one of those things where you are terrible in the league in football, but then go on to win the Champions League. Chelsea, Liverpool 15 years ago. You could be rubbish in the league. Even Real Madrid has done it before. Barcelona's the only team, or Man United, are the only teams that will be good in the league and good in the Champions League. Some teams have been terrible in local football or and then gone on to be quite potent on the cup stage. So the Sharks really do have a lot to play for. And they might even have an open door. I don't know if they're mathematically out of it. Open door to still qualify for the Challenge Cup or the Champions Cup next season, depending on their finish on the table, because there's a lot of teams at the bottom of the table alongside themselves.
No. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't add to that.
Yeah.
Let's get to the next one that we'll be definitely focusing on from a South African perspective. The North-South Derby. And stories have sort of gone this way. Jake has said that the Stormers seem to have the Bulls' number at the moment. You know, we forget that Jake also knows how to speak to the media.
And yeah. how to
create enough of a narrative that focuses more on them. Not them, the opposition, than it does them. You know, takes his team out of it, which is great. But
this, you know, might be it.
For who?
The Bulls might just break that hoodoo that the Stormers have over them. I would have said the Indian sign over them, but that would be called racism, so I'm not going to use that old
term. What
sign? The Indian sign. I don't know if you know. It's
you've been living in KwaZulu-Natal.
No, that's an Australian term. That's an Australian term for having somebody. Okay. Yeah, but now because our sensibilities have changed, the Stormers have had the Wolves.
Not that the Australians are the most politically.
Oh my goodness! Yeah, that's true. Beings in the world. Because one thing we need to understand, folks, is that the Stormers have made it very clear. They have telegraphed their intentions. Every single Springbok, including Frans Malherbe, is going to be on the pitch on Saturday afternoon. Because what is at stake? The South African Shield. That the Stormers will look for to win for the third time in a row. If the Bulls win it, they are going to lock it up as well. So there is so much at stake. There is a trophy on the line. The South Africa's best team for 2023-24. And I think, man, it's as if the Stormers like might run out this weekend. I think so. The Bulls have everything to play for, and it's going to be a full house. Hey, guys, we're going to get our money's worth on Saturday.
So, I'm not going to even disagree with you. Mm. I'm going to agree with you. I think also streaks are made to be broken, and this is,
exactly. You
know, this is and the bookies seem to be agreeing with you, sir.
Yeah.
The line for the Bulls, 0.39.
Yeah. Yep.
The draw is at 20. There won't be a draw. I don't think there'll be a draw. Mm-hmm. And the Stormers are 2.15.
So the bookies are trying to draw you into throwing them anyway.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, it's hard. You know, every time I bet against the Stormers win.
Indeed. Have you noticed that they've actually not lost the game since November?
I know. I know that's also what's really
staggering,
frightening about them. It's rather staggering.
They've beaten the best team in the world and La Rochelle in that time, by the way. Unless you disagree as the two-time European champions.
I am going to go with... Bulls by 7.
Sounds
Bulls
fair.
To win within 7.
And it says here the handicap is 6.5. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
The Bulls to win within 7.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's what it looks like from a rugby perspective this weekend.
Yeah. Everything else is just a walkover. Connacht, Lucknethly, Cardiff, yeah, Leinster, I mean, Ulster.
Most people will come after you, bro. Yes. Don't do that. Sorry. Most people will come find you. Don't be that person. But if you are interested in other sports, there are plenty of other sports mm-hmm. going on. There must be some Premier League going on.
I don't know what the biggest game of the weekend is.
You know what's really scary is you went to school to be a sports journalist and now you're a hot, dirty, raggedy.
You must understand that when Man United is ass, it kills your love for the game. When your team is crap, like the Chicago Bulls. Sorry to go there. The Bulls lost to the Pistons, man.
Just, you know what? Oh shit,
it's Man City, Man United on Sunday evening.
I'm so glad that you said there was nothing important.
Because
I was just about to bring that up.
United is 8-1. So 1,000.
I'll take that bet.
And they could pull it off, huh? I know
if
this.
You put a grand.
Yeah.
If you do me a favor, you put a grand. I'll give you half. You put a grand on Man United. And you sneak a little bit for Man City so that we come out on top somehow. That the Manchester Derby, I mean, you have to be careful there, hey? Is the Manchester Derby what we saw it as or see it as of even 10 years ago?
Not anymore, simply because United fell off.
So I remember 10 years ago, so when I was, how long is it now? 2012. Yeah. 2010 through 12, it was a derby.
Because there was a league decider. It was a league decider, yeah.
Right. And now it's not because Manchester United are like in 5th, 6th, 7th
place. Yes, which is a problem.
Okay, we've talked about this at length. Right. Here's a question. Because the investment into Manchester City,
yes,
is that of millions,
billions.
Almost billions.
Yeah.
Why have we not actually talked about the fact that they're an underachieving French sports franchise with that amount of money? Because they've never won a Champions League, and that has been Guardiola's.
Because no one supports Man City, and no one will support Man City, and nobody cares, and they've been financially doped, and they're facing financial charges of impropriety. Unfortunately, we all know that, well, if you don't have gravitas, and you don't have a history, and you don't have a pedigree, and suddenly somebody comes and brings you billions to go and win, sometimes that tribalism in sports does work against you. Nobody cares. Mm-hmm. What is the news? Man City dominating English football or Manchester United sucking? What are people going to click on?
Yeah, that's true.
People were more concerned about Liverpool sucking. They came back. People were more concerned about Arsenal sucking. Arsenal is challenging again. United now is the clickbait because they are crap.
Arsenal will do Arsenal.
Thank you. Thank you. They'll compete.
0.25 Manchester City. Draw is 5.2. Man United 8.4.
So, look, man.
You want to know what the handicap is? Do you know what the handicap
is? The handicap is currently... Is the handicap? I don't think
it's
so.
It's not even showing us.
No, there's no...
We need to discuss some things. Yeah. Winning margins. Yo.
Look, United, it's one of those... Oh, by the way, this is a nightmare game for bettors. Manchester United can literally go and ship 6 goals or beat Man City. That's Man United under Erik ten Hag now. You don't know what nonsense to... They can serve a cake or a shit cake. There's no in between.
Look, I mean, I'm not well enough. Again, I'm not well enough versed on the ins and outs. But again, if you're looking at it from a United perspective, it's a game they need. They need every game.
So that's City.
Yeah, but I mean, City will always be in the Champions League. That's what we always forget. Mm-hmm. Manchester United might not always be in the Champions League, considering how they're playing right now.
How the mighty fall, eh?
I know, it's nuts. Chelsea, Brentford.
Mm-mm-mm. That's going to be a good game because Chelsea have also been trash.
Right. West Ham, Everton.
Yeah. Ooh, Everton need the result. And I think with West Ham now in 3-4, Everton is going to whoop their ass.
The draw is 2.45. West Ham at 2.4. Everton at 1.0.
I know. Everton's going to win that.
Liverpool have got Nottingham.
They're going to smash them. They're going to smash Forest. They're
going to
thumb Forest.
Let's see. Arsenal, Brentford?
Oh. Wait. Which calendar are you looking at? Because
Arsenal, Brentford at 1.25.
Draw is 5. Can't be.
No, sorry. That's the 9th. Yes, I'm a week ahead. Yes. I got excited. Sorry. The biggest game, obviously, of the week then is the derby.
Manchester derby, man. And United could actually be the kingmakers and league costers because they're going to play Arsenal, Liverpool, and City. The three teams that are in the best title race for many years. And United can ruin the party for every one of them. So, the thing is, that's why I'm like, hey, this United team can cause cuck, man. They can cause cuck even for themselves.
True.
That's why I'm like, hey, dude. Should be an interesting one for gamblers. And the handicap says that United is in a 2-0 lead. So United is currently leading 2-0, but they believe that City will hit them for 3.
That's our football roundup.
Yeah.
Anything else we need to... Is this some... Is there some PSL that we need?
The Soweto Derby is next weekend.
Yeah, okay. Then we'll get to that next week.
There's nothing.
Cape Town Spurs, TS Galaxy.
I want to go to sleep, bro. If you want me to talk PSL, let me look at South Africa.
We got 50 odd minutes out of this.
Let me look at South Africa. Oh my God.
Ladies and gentlemen, yeah. Those of you that have listened to us drone on.
Thank you.
We needed to get our
Chiefs is playing Swallows. Chiefs is playing Swallows and Chiefs.
You just said you wanted to go to sleep and I'm, you know, doing the rundown. I'm picking Swallows because Chiefs are Thank you for bearing through us.
Yeah, thank you for being
for this hour. Yep. We didn't even take a break. Fantastic. It wasn't contentious. We needed to get the odds out for Hollywood Bets. And you know, in the coming weeks, we will be ramping up as it is March. Then it's April, May, June. And in July is horse racing, baby. So we gonna get excited. We're gonna name some horses that we've never even fucking heard of, with the weirdest ass fucking names. Okay. And I'm sure, you know, there's going to be some, listen, some horse is going to be called some royal, some shit. I can't wait for these names, right? For the big races for Durban July. But that's a while off. There's going to be some NBA to look forward to because, you know, the season's going to start, the regular season will wind down and we will go towards the playoffs and we need to start getting that all in.
Yeah, well.
Of course, there'll be rugby, you know. Everybody's going crazy now talking about the island South Africa situation going forward. We forget that there's a rugby championship coming.
Yarr.
We got to see what Australia's going to look like with Joe Schmidt, if anything. But yeah, it's been a long night and a long day, and we appreciate you sitting with us and taking the time. And yeah.
It's going to be fun.
Manchester Derby. You know what? I'm going red, eh?
Dude, it could be one of those games, eh?
I'm going red.
And so are Arsenal and Liverpool fans. They'll be like, go Man United! Which should never happen under any normal circumstance.
Peace out.
Cheers.
Thank you so much for taking
it. And Allen Iverson would average 45 in the new NBA. Cheers. Out.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Okay. Good night.
Yeah, I just said.